Welcome back in, everyone, to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are so excited to be heading out of New York City up to the beautiful state of Massachusetts for our show today. And joining us as kind of our guide, we've got the artistic director, Eric Rosen, who is with Cape Playhouse. And he's joining us to talk about their upcoming summer season, which, of course, is at the Cape Playhouse in Dennis, Massachusetts. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting capeplayhouse.com. This is a very exciting guest and company to be sharing with you because it's New York's playground in the summer. It's Broadway's playground, if you will. And so we can't wait to learn more and to share this great summer season. And the perfect person to do so is our guest. So, Eric, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to have you here. First of all, congratulations on this role. This is your first year there with Cape Playhouse, and what a season you are doing with this. But let me backtrack a little. Let me start by having you tell us a little bit about the Cape Playhouse, what it is, what you do. As I mentioned, I mean, this is where Broadway comes during the summer. Can you elaborate on that as well?
Yeah. The Cape Playhouse is in its 97th year. It's the oldest continuously operating summer theater in the U.S. And it's a classic summer stock theater dating back to the old days when this movement was founded back in the 20s, 30s, 40s. Some of the most famous names in American theater history trod those boards, like Betty Davis and Humphrey Bogart, Thornton Wilder, Tallulah Bankhead, Gertrude Lawrence. The list goes on. And really began this idea that people from Broadway would go up to the Cape and in the summer season when they were off. And that's been true for generations. We're located in an idyllic 12-acre campus in the middle of Dennis, which is about a 15-minute walk, one of the most beautiful beaches I've ever seen. You can understand the pull and the allure for our artists. And we were refining in this new era with me as its leader. We are refining the mission, rethinking a little bit about ways to move forward in this new era and really make the Playhouse a name that people in New York will think about when they think about where they want to head out this summer. And so we're doing shows that feel broadly would get you off the beach in the summer, but also have some thought and some heart to them with some incredible artists.
That is amazing. How exciting to know that this is just right there in our backyard. So wonderful. Yeah. So with this being your first season as artistic director at the Cape Playhouse, what is your vision for the popular summer theater?
The first thing any good artistic director should do when they come in is don't break anything. Before I know the audience and the place, I really wanted to plan a season that continued the tradition, but also in which I could bring the artists with whom I have long-term relationships, bring new blood and new energy to it. So the season is four musicals and a play. It's a slightly different structure than seasons before. Longer runs of popular titles make sure they're capturing as much audience as we can. And I think the excitement that I'm bringing is to incredible boldface names, some of whom I can share, some of whom you'll have to stay tuned as we go on. But it really is a continuation of the work the Playhouse has done, leading towards, I think, in coming summers, a march towards a 100th anniversary celebration in 2027. We've got a long way to go to get the Playhouse to be front of mind and front of heart, but an incredible legacy to build on.
That is so spectacular. I love hearing that. And I want to build on that question. I want to just dive right into the season that you're putting on. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, the season you've got?
Yeah, well, it's four musicals and a play, all with connections to the Playhouse and or to me that feel exciting. The first show is Jonathan Larson's Tick, Tick, Boom, starring Andy Mientis, Christina Alabado, and Larry Owens. I think you'll see in this cast the kind of artists I'm hoping to attract, all three legitimate New York stars bringing incredible energy to this show. We did the production at Bucks County Playhouse last year, and it was really, really beautifully received, highly acclaimed. And I knew immediately that I wanted to do it as my first show on the Cape. It's exciting to me also because if you know Tick, Tick, Boom well, you know there are mysterious references to Cape Cod throughout it. The central conflict between Jonathan and Susan is that she wants to leave New York to move to the Cape, and the beautiful sequence at the end when John learns that Michael has HIV, he describes his memory of them as children on the beach in Hyannis. which is 20 minutes from the playhouse. And I discovered that that's because the Larson family has a long tradition of being on the Cape. They rented a home in West Dennis for many years. They built a home in Hyannis, and all of the details are from Jonathan's personal life. So really getting a sense of a unique connection between the show and the Cape. And I think that's going to make it especially powerful and poignant. And it's just a, when I say kick-ass, it's a kick-ass show. You have to beat that out. After that, we're doing an artist who's had a long history with the playoffs, Tony Award nominee Hunter Foster, who last season was our guest artistic director. Hunter's an incredible director and has this production of Million Dollar Quartet that he's done quite a few times, including once before at the Playhouse in the late teens, I believe. And I asked him if he would bring the show back in a post-pandemic celebration of that incredible story of the night that all these rock luminaries met in Sun Studios in Memphis and had this legendary session of music. So that's our second show. Third, we're doing production of Beautiful, directed by David Wirtura, a really wonderful director. He's also done the show before. He directed the production at Ogunquit Playhouse that ran twice. It was so successful at Tuacon and Aspen. He's done a lot of places. And we're assembling, can't say the names yet, but we're assembling people who've done the show on Broadway and are going to bring those performances to the Cape. I'm really excited about it. It's an incredible cast. Followed up with a new production of Waitress that I'm directing, the beautiful Sarah Bareilles musical. I couldn't be more excited about it, and I can't wait to announce that cast because it really does exemplify the notion of where Broadway goes to summer. Some incredible A-list talent who signed on to be a part of my first original production of the summer and the first original thing that I'm doing for the Playhouse. I love that show, and I think it's just a perfect way to spend August with a bunch of my friends. Sharing Sarah Bareilles' extraordinary music and that beautiful story. And we're finishing up the season. Playhouse is a long tradition for many decades of including a mystery, usually close out the season. And I asked my friend Kimberly Senior, the director who directed Disgraced on Broadway, and one of my oldest friends, if she would come and do a mystery. And she said, "Yes, I want to do the 39 steps. I've always wanted to do it. Can we do it, please?" And I said, "Yeah, of course, of course." So she's assembling a four-person cast and her unique comedic vision to that story to round up the season. And we'll know more about that as we get closer to it. But that's the season. So it's, to me, smart theater, interesting theater, stuff that, like a great beach novel, will get you off the beach in the summer and round out an incredible summer night.
That is amazing. How exciting. All of these pieces. This is incredible. Now, I want to go back to your opening show, Tick Tick Boom. First of all, that was fascinating to learn that Jonathan Larson and his family, were up in Massachusetts often. That's incredible. Had
Yeah.
no. So I'm curious to know, you picked the show first. Have you always been a fan of Jonathan Larson's work?
Of course. I mean, Rent changed my life. It was, I remember where I was the day I heard that he had passed away and heard the story of Rent when it just was premiering off Broadway and how much that story meant to me in the early days of my career. And of course, listened to the Rent soundtrack relentlessly. I can recite every word of it. Came to know Tick, Tick, Boom early on in the early 2000s when the original off-Broadway production happened. And I love that music. And it really, he only wrote three musicals. So only two of them have been produced. So to be able to engage with that story that reminds me so much of who I was when I knew about Rent, the hungry young artist who was desperate to say something important. That Jonathan was reminds me so much of how I felt back in my 20s and heading into the age of 30, which is what Tick, Tick, Boom is about. So yeah, I'm a huge fan.
You are among friends. I am
Yeah,
absolutely in that boat with you. Rent heads unite.
yeah.
I love that. That's so wonderful. Now, you also mentioned that you directed a production of Tick Tick Boom at Bucks County Playhouse back in 2023. So, how will this production at Cape Playhouse be different from that?
Honestly, hopefully not very much. I mean, I love that production so much and I'm excited to do it again. Andy Mantis and Christina Alibato were in it at Playhouse. It also starred Noah Ricketts, who's currently starring in The Great Gatsby, so he was not available. And can't imagine a better addition to our team than Larry Owens, the villainous Larry Owens, who starred in Strange Loop and is a television actor now, and also an incredible musical theater composer. He just won a Jonathan Larson Grant, which is especially poignant in this context. And really, the show will be, a third element, which is Larry's performance that will be new. But the design team is all the same. The physical production is the same. But it gives a chance to deepen it and do it over now that we know that it works. So we're really excited to go back to
That sounds incredible. I'm excited about this production. This is going to be wonderful.
It's a really good show. I love it so much. It's a great, great production.
Now, keeping the focus on you a little bit, because I'm just also curious to know. I mean, you also ran Kansas City Rep, another just, pinnacle regional theater here in the country. What are some of your proudest moments out there?
Oh gosh. I mean, I spent 10 years in Kansas City trying to change the sense of what a regional theater could be in the center of the country from a place that was importing all this other people's talent, but rather starting to export work. And the things I'm proudest of is the amount of work that originated in Kansas City that went on to Broadway, off Broadway, every major regional theater that I can think of, Arena Stage, Center Theater Group, Baltimore Center Stage, Lincoln Center Theater, Republic Theater. We created work that went everywhere. And that was so fun and so exciting to be in the middle of that, in the middle of the country, which seems so far away, but really made it the kind of the crossroads of so much of the American theater in my time there. I'm really proud of that. Personally, artistically, my greatest accomplishment was my show Venice, which originated in Kansas City, went to Los Angeles. Time Magazine called it the best musical of 2010. Ages ago, and then it got picked up by the public. We developed it with the public for a couple of years and premiered in 2013 and starred Leslie Odom Jr., Uzo Aduba, Jen Damiano, Haas Slamon, Claiborne Elder, my husband. It was one of my favorite things and always an incredible high point for my time in Kansas City.
It's amazing. That is amazing. Look how far you've come. Look at all the great good you're doing. This is so exciting.
Thank you.
I want to now turn back to the season at Cape Playhouse, your inaugural season. And I'm curious to know, is there a message or thought you're hoping audiences take away from the season, particularly your opening show, Tick Tick Boom?
I think the through line that goes through the season is there's a lot of rock and roll music. And it starts with an artist that redefined what rock music is on Broadway and kind of trace through Tick, Tick, Boom to the Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley era of early rock and roll, through to Carole King and all the way to Sarah Bareilles. I wanted to create a sort of a musical journey of what rock music has been on Broadway and how that translates to our audience, for audiences in Cape Cod. The vitality and the energy and excitement of how music has been used in theater for the last 30, 40 years is a unifying piece of this thing. In terms of a mission or a message, I think what I really wanted to do is to show that the Playhouse still can be a place where Broadway artists can thrive outside of the city in the summer and can attract audiences that have a unique opportunity to have be really up close and personal with some of the best people who are working in the business right now. So that's the hope. And I don't know that I had artistically a more unifying concept than that, but really just to make a splash, and to make it seem as exciting as I think it can be.
I love that. That's a great idea. For the final question of our first part, I would love to know who do you hope have access to Cape Playhouse and to this year's season?
That's a great question. I think that, obviously we're serving the people of Cape Cod who live there and spend their summers there, and tourists from New York and Boston, people on their way to Provincetown. There's also a focus for me on finding new audiences and younger audiences who will engage with some of these. I want passionate theater kids to come up and check out. We found last year with Tick, Tick, Boom that young people traveled 100, 200 miles to see Andy and Christina in Tick, Tick, Boom. And we're already getting feedback that people are starting to buy tickets from further afield. The energy of that is important, that the Playhouse be then we start to build a new audience and a younger audience, keeping our long-term patrons, of course, but giving the place some youthful vitality, which I think I can bring with some of these shows. That's really about access and about encouraging people to come. Someone said to me when I worked at a job, oh, I visit Cape Cod a lot. Do you think I could go there? It had a perception of it that it was a club or something that was exclusive. And I've always been a huge advocate for making theater as accessible and open and friendly and available as possible, regardless of one's ability to pay, regardless of one's perception of who theater is for, that it really is for people who love it and who want to get to know it. And that's what I'm trying to reach.
Second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better, or pull the curtain back.
Sure.
And I want to start by asking you, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites?
Sure. I mean, I think as a theater artist, we're always standing on the shoulders of the people who taught us. And, I was taught primarily by Frank Galati, who passed away last year, the incredible original director of Ragtime. I was his student when he was making Ragtime, and so that show means a great deal to me. I was lucky enough to see the first preview of it, both in Chicago and in New York. I was around that show all the time Frank was making it. And so it looms large in my mind as an example of a kind of an epic theater with an original vision and also with a literary antecedent in doctoral novel. So that show meant a lot to me. I was Mary Zimmerman's assistant for a long time, and then later her producer, and she was also my PhD advisor. And I equally have a doctorate in performance studies. So Mary's original visions of how to make theater and how to think about theater as having its roots in world cultures, broadly defined, has been tremendously influential to me. And third, and of course, who would we be without Sondheim? And it's on my mind all the time. Clay Warren, my husband, has been in probably more Sondheim shows than anyone else of his generation, from Roadshow to Company to Sunday in the Park, done Passion. So I've been around that work, and I've directed quite a few Sondheim shows myself. And we were lucky enough to have known Steve and gotten to spend time with him in his final years, particularly with our son, Beau, who was 3 and 4, and just shy of 5 years old last time we saw Steve. So, that was very, I didn't know him well, but I did get to know him, and it lingers in my mind when I think about who we'll be talking about 50 years from now. Having gotten to know him is extraordinary, and knowing that his work so well shapes everything I think about.
That is an incredible list. And oh my gosh, that is incredible how close in the interactions you got to have with Stephen Sondheim. That is amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool, right? I think about it, I'm like, that really happened? Yes, that really happened.
Yeah. Well, I want to build on that because I would love to know, what is your favorite part about working in the theater?
The thing that I'm most passionate about for my own artistry is the space between directing and writing. So I'm both a playwright and a director. And I used to direct my own plays, and I learned my lesson. I try not to do that anymore. But I love I love original stories of my own authorship that come to life, not through just me sitting in a room with my collaborators writing, but that really happen in the workshop or in the early stages of the creative process when you translate a written idea into a live, three-dimensional human idea in collaboration with actors. My favorite memories are the moment in a workshop when a script goes from being something inert on the page to being alive in a way that is why we do it, right? Is what our words sound like and feel like in the mouths and the bodies of actors, and how the characters we imagine become the people that we imagine them with. That's my favorite part.
That is such a fantastic answer. I love that.
Aww.
And
Miss
now we've arrived at my favorite question to ask guests, and I am so excited to hear yours. I'm sure that
Oh.
it's going to be a knockout of the park here.
Oh,
But
pressure, pressure.
what is your favorite theater memory?
When I was 7 years old, my parents took me to my first Broadway show, which improbably was A Chorus Line. And I'm almost 7 year old son now, and I don't think I would have taken him to A Chorus Line, but my parents did. And I remember specifically my amazement at the feeling of the director's voice coming from behind me over the god mic and wanting to know who that was, what it meant. And when he finally broke the wall and walked to the stage, I remember it. I mean, I really do. And I think about that a lot when I'm directing, when I'm talking to god mic and I walk to the stage, that I'm repeating something that's baked into me from my earliest member of what earliest memory of what theater is. And it's both hilarious to me that it comes from Chorus Line and very poignant, you know, that it's that show kind of shadows so much of our understanding of what theater life is. I'm not sure we ever thought so much about what dancers do, what actors do in the theater when Chorus Line came around, and that it kind of seared itself into my memory is really wonderful. Thanks, Mom and Dad.
I love that memory. That is such
Yeah,
a
isn't that weird?
memory. And yes, shout
Yeah.
out to my dad, planting seed and cultivating. That's wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Of course.
Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, do you or your company have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline we might be able to plug?
So yeah, I mean, the Playhouse has an extraordinary lineup of things to see this summer, and I'm really excited about all of them. The one that I'm honestly most excited about is Waitress, partly because I'm directing it, but also I've just fallen in love with that show in a way that, you know, when I saw it on Broadway, I loved it very much. But when I really dug into its book is so fantastic and the music is so good. And I'm approaching it in a different way than what Diane Paulus did, which I admire so much. But I'm really looking at it for the spirit of the independent film inside of it and the meditation that it is on happiness and what happiness means in a more spiritual way than when we generally say happiness. And I hope I can find that in this production to give it a sense of real odyssey for that character towards a final reunion and self-realization that Jenna goes through. That's what I'm most motivated by right now. That I'm just gonna love that show.
I'm so excited for you. That is amazing. Well, that leads to my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about the Cape Playhouse or this season, or about you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so?
Well, show up in my house. No, just kidding. If you want to know more about the Cape Playhouse, please come check out our website at capeplayhouse.com. This is all the information about how to get tickets and how to get access and how to come see us in beautiful Cape Cod. If you're heading to Provincetown, you should stop by. You can't get to Provincetown without stopping in Dennis, Mass. So hope to see you all there. And you can check out our website. And there's a link to my information on our website and my bio and all that kind of stuff.
Wonderful. Well, Eric, thank you so much for stopping by and for sharing this incredible theater company, this amazing season, and just all your insight. It's truly been an honor to speak with you. So thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And your enthusiasm is infectious. I really appreciate
Thank you so much.
it.
My guest today has been the amazing artistic director, Eric Rosen, whose first season at the Cape Playhouse is coming up, their summer season. You can get more information about this as well as your tickets by visiting capeplayhouse.com. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description as well as in our social media posts. But this is the perfect reason to get out of the city this summer, to head up to Dennis, Massachusetts, to take in some great theater and some beautiful scenery while you're at it. It's the Cape Playhouse summer season. Tickets and more information being available at capeplayhouse.com. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.